Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Now get ready for Strange Things with Joshua P. Warren.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself.
Strange Things with Joshua P. Warren.
I am Joshua P. Warren, and each week on this show, I'll be bringing you brand new, mind-blowing content, news, exercises, and weird experiments you can do at home, and a lot more. On this edition of the show, part two of a wild history of ghostly and spectral animals. On the last show, I started reading some portions from this book I published in 2006 called Pet Ghosts, Animal Encounters from the Beyond the Grave. And I started telling you about the history of what I call phantomals. These are animals that appear to be ghosts or ghostly. And I had a feeling, as I began telling you about this vast history, that I might run out of time, because it's a huge story. Well, sure enough, I did. And so now I'm going to pick up where I left off last time. And, of course, I'll add some commentary in there, and maybe even I'll tell you about another personal experience that I had with a phantomal. But before, I went through ancient times, and I'd made it up to the Middle Ages and the Victorian period. So let's start back there. Of course, the most chilling of black dogs, and perhaps the most well-known, are the hellhounds or devil dogs. These massive black canines with searing eyes of fire have been considered members of Satan's hunting pack. They are always associated with negative events. In many cases, it's not even important to actually view the beasts. Simply hearing their blood-curdling howls break a midnight's stillness is enough to appreciate their impact. According to legend, such beasts not only guard the devil's most sacred secrets, but aggress toward any party Lucifer targets for spiritual attack.
In some cases, the packs are even headless, and the most outstanding have frequently been sighted near Cornwall, England. Though the earliest report of a black dog probably came from France in AD 856, a creature that briefly appeared during an evening church service, eyes glowing when the room's torches suddenly extinguished, the most outstanding early experiences were in England. August of 1577. Strangely enough, these encounters also occurred during church services. The creature in France harmlessly appeared and disappeared, and we have no clear understanding of its implications, but the animal that interrupted a stormy Sunday morning service in Bungay, England, was certainly a hellhound. Without explanation, the beast, physically described as a typical giant raven dog with blazing eyes, appeared in an aisle of St. Mary's Church and violently sprung on a member of the congregation. By the time the hysterical patrons realized what was happening, at least three members of the church were dead, some with throats and limbs torn away, some crushed by fallen masonry due to the leaping beast's weight, and others scorched and shriveled by the phantom's energy. The region's storm churned with, according to a pamphlet of the day, quote, "darkness, rain, hail, thunder, and lightning as was never seen the like," end quote. Shortly thereafter, a black dog, perhaps the same one, interrupted another church service at Blytheburg Church in Suffolk, only around 10 miles away. Mauling and murder continued there, and once its bloodthirsty work was done, the powerful hound galloped out a door, leaving deep, black burn marks on the surrounding wood. An old verse records the Bungay event. "All down the church, in midst of fire, the hellish monster flew, and passing onward to the choir, he many people slew." These kinds of stories are particularly interesting. The incident at Bungay made such a realistic impact that the hellhound was incorporated into the town's coat of arms. And to this day, the supposed marks, the burn marks, can be seen at Blytheburg. The dog's purported ability to savagely kill and having a weight heavy enough to destroy parts of the Bungay building undeniably implies its solid existence in our physical realm. However, the fact it severely burned humans and the wooden doorway, plus the sheer scope and magnitude of its chaotic destruction and mysterious origin, are not consistent with any known normal animal. This curious combination of, dare we say, natural and supernatural qualities makes it extremely difficult to understand such a being. Regardless of whether or not such beasts spend most of the time in some other realm non-physical to us, when they do assume a presence in our realm, they are absolutely tangible and even augmented by physical powers misunderstood by present scientific views. They are certainly phantomals, and yet phantomals are not exclusively non-physical. On the contrary, they seem to shift between the frequencies of our physical dimension and others, fully interactive and participating in whatever realm they occupy at any given time. Now, despite the documentation of ghost dogs in Europe, such creatures have been seen around the world. South Africans have long told of the Vulverhond, which is considered an omen of doom, and is generally described as a shaggy beast, usually seen from a distance, only fully recognizable if the unfortunate observer gets within feet of the apparition. As opposed to classic black eyes that may only have, opposed to the classic black dogs that may only have glowing eyes, the Vulverhond's entire body is surrounded by devilish crimson light. Such an appearance is more typical of traditional apparitions materializing in these luminous, almost electrically enhanced forms. Though it is never surprising that dogs and cats should be recognized in spectral literature, given their long histories as pets, modern humans may be surprised by how horses are prominently mentioned in that context as well. After all, the presence of a horse is a novelty for most in our era of automobiles and airplanes. But in days past, even a person with no desire or need for a dog or cat often relied on a relationship with horses for transportation. It's therefore not surprising that horse apparitions may be the most widely documented of all. Of course, we must wonder whether this is due to an increased presence of equine spirits or the simple fact that such large creatures are easier to observe. This is a question that frequently crops up in the discussion of animal phantoms. Given the fleeting and the fleeing nature of so many creatures, how can we be sure of whether or not an animal briefly observed is actually a normal physical specimen or a ghost? Well, quite simply, we cannot. Horse apparitions are frequently seen with ghostly human counterparts. The best examples may be the headless horseman, tales of galloping pitch-black steeds mounted by furious decapitated riders have lingered for hundreds of years, especially found in some of the earliest German and Scandinavian legends, as documented in the 1700s by a folklorist named Karl Musaus. Such specters are usually the product of wars. A revered officer set on battle who suddenly loses his head exists in a state of delirious confusion. Energy of the tortured man, frustrated by his inability to complete the fight, especially with adrenaline pumping, may burn a hole between this dimension and the next. Headless horsemen are unable to tell the difference between friend and foe, and so attack anyone unfortunate enough to cross their paths. The strangest part is the very fact that they ride horses. If a soldier is beheaded, but the animal survives, why should the creature be doomed to appear as a misty slave of his master? If the horse is killed at the same time, then it makes sense. Otherwise, we must wonder if the beheaded chooses from some stable of phantasmal equines in the netherworld, or if the soldier's horse instantly transforms from a physical to non-physical beast by means of a process misunderstood by science. On the other hand, in some cases, they might simply be imprints, therefore negating the necessity for the horse death. Regardless of the origin, these creatures carrying tormented human souls are certainly impressive phantoms. And when we come back from this break, I'll give you some rather chilling stories about these kinds of phantoms, including one I bet you've never heard of that comes from the area where I grew up in Western North Carolina. You know what? If you are a person who bought one of my paracymatic sigils, I've got some good news for you. We now have in our workshop this incredible professional engraving machine. And so for the time being, Mobius is going to take your customized, personalized paracymatic sigil, and he's going to burn it onto this beautiful pendant made from this striking metamaterial, as well as a high-quality leather key fob. And don't worry, the leather only came from animals that died naturally. So, go right now to thesigillab.com. That's Sigil spelled S-I-G-I-L. Go to thesigillab.com and click the link to the key fob and the pendant. Once you get it, you send your sigil, your custom sigil, to Mobius, and you will receive this beautiful set. thesigillab.com. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network, and I will be right back.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Strange Things coming right up.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. you may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/strangethings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/strangethings.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hey, the Coast to Coast AM YouTube channel is waiting for you.
Go to coasttocoastam.com for more information.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hi, this is George Norrie, and you're listening to the new iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Now let's get back to Strange Things with Joshua P. Warren.
Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, beaming into your wormhole brain from my studio in Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, where every day is golden and every night is silver. Agiatato Zume. And if you would like to go right now and get yourself a free online digital good luck charm from me that you can start using immediately, go to joshuapwarren.com, sign up for my free e-newsletter. You'll see the letters right there. They're kind of Slimer green on the homepage. Click here for Joshua's free newsletter. Click it, put your email address in there. Boom. You will get an automated email from me with what could be some life changing surprises for you. Let's get back to these tales of headless horsemen and the like. Headless horsemen of the United States were popularized by Washington Irving's 1819 fictional short story, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, and in the 1869 publication of a book called The Headless Horseman by Captain Mayne Reid. Unlike Irving's tale, Captain Reid's book is based on true accounts from Texas, personally investigated by the author. But among Native Americans, wraiths astride horses were not an uncommon sight, even if the riders were not beheaded. Perhaps the most dramatic example comes from Chimney Rock, North Carolina. Chimney Rock is lush with Cherokee Indian legends. The most outstanding is a terrible battle that sometimes rages in the sky at sunset. The horizon turns to wispy, bluish fog, and from the seething clouds emerge two armies
with hundreds of horses engaging head-on in a desperate clash. This epic struggle was observed by whites as early as 1811. Being tiny figures on the ground, pioneers would gawk up at the churning purplish scene playing out in the heavens on a vast, awesome scale. And though there is no historical basis for this original event, those who witnessed the rare display are most impressed by the snorts and cries of the distressed horses encompassed by rampant death and murder. Another well-known ghost horse and non-headless rider duo is Herne the Hunter in England's Windsor Park. Apparently around the year 1400, a great forest keeper for King Richard II was a rugged man named Herne. He spent most of his time alone in the woods, concealed, looking out for poachers and trespassers, with whom he dealt harshly. With time, due to gradual loss of his youth and outdoor skill, or fear of being disgraced by some perverse offense, he hanged himself from an oak tree. Since then, the mighty hunter's charging apparition, high astride a black steed, has terrified hundreds of trespassers. The protective Herne is said to wear a stag's skull on his head, its long, twisting horns, making the whole display beastly and surreal. In 1843, author W. Harrison Ainsworth described the sight in his novel called Windsor Castle. Quote, a wild, spectral object, possessing a slight resemblance to a human being, clad in the skin of a deer, and wearing on its head a sort of helmet, formed from the skull of a stag, from which branched a large pair of antlers. It was surrounded by a blue, phosphoric light. End quote. But this chilling apparition was even recorded much earlier, 1599, by none other than William Shakespeare in The Merry Wives of Windsor. Quote, there is an old tale goes that Herne the Hunter, sometimes a keeper here at Windsor Forest, doth all the winter time at still midnight walk round about an oak with great ragged horns, and there he blasts the tree and takes the cattle and makes ye yield blood and shakes a chain in a most hideous and dreadful manner. You have heard of such a spirit, and well you know the superstitious idle-headed eld received and did deliver to our age this tale of Herne the Hunter for a truth. Well, I don't read Shakespeare very often on this podcast, and I think you can see why. It's easy to imagine horses on land being utilized by humans, whether in this life or the next, but amazingly, not all horse-like shades or fantables are restricted to the dry earth. This is best exemplified by the Scottish Kelpie. These creatures are often called water devils and are basically deceptive aquatic spirits that manifest as young, healthy horses grazing about waterways. When someone inevitably tries to climb on its back, the creature bolts for water, splashes like thunderclaps, and intentionally drowns the human. At that point, the horse may transform into a more evil humanoid form, having successfully lured the person to doom. No one knows why Kelpies hate humans, though they have been seen for hundreds of years, even described by author Stuart Grant in 1823's book called Popular Superstitions of the Highlanders of Scotland. Some Scots believe that if a man is strong enough to strap a bridle on a Kelpie, the creature will submit and be a valuable resource the rest of its life. However, if the bridle is ever removed or somehow slips away, the escaping Kelpie will place a horrible curse on the man who restrained it. Though cats, dogs, and horses have been popular fantomals in history, it is, of course, impossible to completely address the whole wide variety of animals documented. Virtually every kind of creature has made a spectral appearance in some culture. When it comes to variety of species, I must at least mention the kirkgrim. For hundreds of years, especially in Europe and the Americas, it has been customary to kill and bury an animal, or simply bury one alive, at the site of a newly constructed church or graveyard. The spirit of the sacrificed creature is intended to guard the property against vandals and others with disrespectful intentions. In some cases, even humans were murdered for the task, and in that case, the resultant wraith was called an Ankhu. An important estate may require multiple animals to be sacrificed, and some of the most prominent were lambs, pigs, cows, goats, and chickens. In 1893, author T. Thistleton Dyer wrote about these phantoms in his book called Ghost World, and he specifically commented on lambs and churches, saying, "They often resided in the building's tower. If the lamb's vision is seen leaping about the grounds when service is not in session, it is an omen that a parishioner's child will soon die." Perhaps the most difficult phantoms to put in perspective are those with wings. Witches' familiars have often been owls. Vampires have their bats. And ancient Greeks and Egyptians revered the phoenix, a bird, probably an eagle or a peacock, that would die every few years in an inferno and then rise alive from the ashes. It's virtually impossible to draw conclusions about winged organisms because they're so fleeting and transient. The remote exception is birds that appear by their own will at or near the time of someone's death, such as crows, ravens, swans, owls, or robins. In particular, if the same animal perpetually visits the same family. It's generally easy to see such winged creatures and draw subjective conclusions, but it is difficult to study them from some stable, controlled perspective. Such is definitely the case with insects. I mean, how would you know if an insect at which you've been swatting is a ghost? In fact, annoying insects do frequently vanish all of a sudden. Might these be specters? There is really no reliable research into this subject. Nonetheless, take a look at the European spunkies. Spunkies are ghosts that supposedly materialize as small white moths. Best known in Scotland, they are the spirits of unbaptized children who met with untimely deaths. These lost entities wander aimlessly until Judgment Day, sometimes filling the innocent role of helping newly deceased human spirits transition, and sometimes leading ships off course to disaster. Vessel lights shining on a cloud of spunkies can reflect and appear like a beacon light. Such a confusing sight makes some ships steer into craggy, treacherous rocks. But whether or not this is inadvertent, or the spunkies intend to harbinger such doom, is unknown. Clearly, the idea of exploring subtle insect ghosts presses into the extreme fringe of paranormal research. When we come back from this break, I have just a few more sentences for you that I'm going to read, and then I'm going to tell you about a personal encounter that I had 12 years ago with what I believe was a phantom. I say this a lot when I tell a story. If I just gave you the experience as it happened, as I witnessed it, that would be wild enough. But turns out, there's actually a twist to this as well. and then later, I've got a wild email that I want to read to you as well. It's just a wild, wild show. But somebody's got to bring you this type of material. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And I will be back after these important messages.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Joshua P. Warren and Strange Things coming right up.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
The Coast to Coast AM mobile app is here and waiting for you right now. With the app, you can hear classic shows from the past 7 years, listen to the current live show, and get access to the Art Bell Vault where you can listen to uninterrupted audio. So head on over to the coasttocoastam.com website. We have a handy video guide to help you get the most out of your mobile app usage. All the info is waiting for you now at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com.
Have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
You're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Heard on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite shows.
Welcome back to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is the show where the unusual becomes usual. Here's just a few more sentences I'll read to you, sort of summarize this section of my book. When addressing these phantoms from the past, we are greatly limited by mankind's infantile understanding of ghostly activity, not to mention difficulty in clarifying exactly what was observed. Even now, with our superior technology, the nature of phantoms is deeply mysterious. Nonetheless, phantoms are experienced now as much as ever. Okay, that's all I wanted to read to you from this book that I published in 2006. If you're interested in reading the whole book, I think you'll love it. It's got all kinds of interesting pictures of animal ghosts and that sort of thing. Just go to Amazon and search for pet ghosts and my name, Joshua P. Warren, and you should find the book. Amazon.com, search for pet ghosts and Joshua P. Warren. It's a nice, about 250-page book. And, you know, I want to tell you here that this is not in the book, but this is a story that certainly fits the topic. A few years ago, I was asked to be an expert on a TV show called Demon in the White House. And this was on the Discovery Channel. And I am considered by some an authority on supernatural phenomena at the White House. In fact, if you've been to my YouTube channel, you may have seen a video report that I did some years ago about what I believe may be the ghost of Abraham Lincoln caught on film back around 1950. But
if you want to know more about all that sort of thing, I actually did a podcast. Let's see. It was episode 48 of this show called Strange Things. Episode 48, the show was titled White House Ghosts That Will Surprise You. And if you go back and listen to that, you can hear me tell all kinds of crazy stories about the White House. But one of the stories that I tell in there is about the demon cat of the White House. And this is a tale that goes all the way back to the 1800s. Apparently, in the basement of the White House, there is this black cat with kind of fiery eyes that appears most often around this framework that was used to hold the coffin or the casket of Abraham Lincoln when he was on display. You know, his corpse was on display there. And this cat, he's so creepy because there are people like guards who've claimed that when they've seen this cat, that sometimes the cat just immediately enlarges into the size of a panther and tries to attack them. It's the scariest thing you've ever seen. And this cat only appears just before tragic things have happened and throughout history. So it appeared right before Lincoln was assassinated. It appeared before the stock market crashed. It appeared before the bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It appeared before JFK was assassinated, that kind of thing. An ominous harbinger and a guardian of something there. And in fact, and this is especially interesting, if you go to the official website of the White House Historical Association, which is whitehousehistory.org, they actually have a whole article, I'm looking at it right now, called Demon Cat, The Tale of a Wanderlust Feline Ghost. I'll read you just the beginning of this. It's by Colleen Shogan. The Demon Cat apparition is one of the best known ghost stories in Washington, D.C. It refers to an oversized, menacing cat that appears sporadically in prominent federal government buildings. According to the legend, the demon cat conspires to frighten unsuspecting people. Other times, the demon cat's appearance has been considered a prophecy of impending disaster or tragedy, and the demon cat is also sometimes known simply as DC. According to an 1898 article in the Washington Post, the demon cat appears as a regular-sized house cat initially, but then can quickly expand to, quote, the size of an elephant before the eyes of a terrified observer, end quote. The first recorded appearance of the demon cat was in the United States Capitol in 1862. During the Civil War, the U.S. Capitol's basement was used as a bakery to feed soldiers, and the demon cat appeared there several times. A guard reportedly fired a gun at the cat and it disappeared. Since its initial manifestation, the demon cat most frequently shows up in the basement of the Capitol building. The cat is sometimes described as a tabby, although others who have claimed to have seen it believe it is black. But of course, it appears a lot in the White House as well. So go to whitehousehistory.org, or you can just search for the demon cat of DC if you're interested in that. But I felt I needed to mention that while we're on this subject. But, you know, here's what I want to say about this book and this history that I've given you. You know, in this book, for example, I mean, I tell the story of this woman who owned a house. She had a farm in South Carolina with all kinds of phantom activity, including pictures of what may very well be the ghost of dinosaurs. You get to see these in the book. So when you talk about phantoms, I mean, and this is a place that I went to and I personally investigated. We're not talking about stories that go back only hundreds or thousands of years ago. Phantom reports are still happening. And I believe personally that even creatures like Mothman and Bigfoot may be considered phantoms because both of them have animal-like qualities. Mothman is a given. Yes, they say, you know, it's like a man, hence the word man, being that it's upright and all that. But people either say it looks like an owl or a moth. So there is that animal element. And the same thing with Bigfoot. Bigfoot may kind of look like a human, but he also looks kind of like an ape or some kind of big, you know, hairy creature along those lines. So that's why I think that even those things can be accurately studied as phantoms. But Let me just tell you about this personal experience that I had. I have been working in radio and now podcasting for a long, long time. And back in the day, for many years, I created and hosted this live radio show in Asheville, North Carolina, my hometown, and it was called Speaking of Strange. Yes, this word strange has been with me a long time. And Speaking of Strange, it was broadcast out of News Radio 570 WWNC, the talk of the mountains. And the show would come on Saturday night. Since it was live, it would come on at, usually it would come on like maybe 9 o'clock, and it would end about midnight. I think that we had to vary it a little bit from time to time, but that's usually what it was. Like, it come on like 9 o'clock, I think. So frequently when the show was over late on a Saturday night, we would have, you know, an hour or two to go out afterward with some of the staff there with the show and go to a bar and have a drink, you know, have a nice Saturday night drink, because the bars in Asheville close at 2 a.m. So that was pretty common for me to go out after the show. And sometimes, you know, I just go with one person. Sometimes I'd have a whole group of people. It just depends. Well, I believe this incident I'm about to tell you about happened on September the 1st of 2012. And I'll tell you in a minute why I think I know the date. 12 years ago, okay? So I had finished the show, and that particular night, the only person who wanted to join me for a drink at a local bar was Investigator Shelley Wright, who was a sponsor of the show, and she frequently sat in and provided all kinds of great talent and commentary. And so she was an on-air personality. And so she said that she would follow me to this bar from the radio station. I'll just tell you the name of the bar. I guess it's still called this. It's called the Bywater. And it was down by the river, you know, in kind of the River Arts District there around the French Broad River. And so we went on back roads. And so I left the station. Here it is, you know, probably like 12:15, you know, it's a little after midnight. And it was a desolate Saturday. I don't know why. You know, it was cold, but there was, I don't remember passing any other cars. And so as I'm driving ahead of her, and my car is going parallel to the river, I was coming up on this bridge that goes over the French Broad. And right as I almost got to the bridge, I was shocked. I slammed on my brakes because suddenly, standing in the middle of the road was this creature, the likes of which I had never seen before. I can only describe it as looking like, okay, you know what a Boston Terrier dog looks like? If not, look it up. It looked like a big black Boston Terrier type dog, except the size of a black bear. It had this face that looked like a bat with these little sharp ears, and it had these eyes that glowed. And best I remember, they were really, really bright white, and then they glinted red. It was the strangest thing. And I mean, I was just shocked. It looked demonic. I mean, I'm talking like something the size of a black bear. And now, mind you, they say like a Boston Terrier, and I'm using that just as a reference. You know, an average Boston Terrier might be 9 inches, a foot tall on all fours. Black bears could be, you know, 3 feet or more on all fours. This is something huge. This is not a normal dog. Huge, muscular, bulky thing. I jumped out of my car. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what happened, and then I'm going to see if we have time to read you an email. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And I will be right back.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Strange Things coming right up.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it.
Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
My name is Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com. Over 5 years ago, George Norrie approached me with a unique concept, a dating site for people searching for someone with interests in UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, and the paranormal. From that, ParanormalDate.com was born. It's a unique site for unique people, and it's free to join to look around. If you want to upgrade and enjoy more of our great features, use promo code George for a great discount. So check it out. You got nothing to lose. ParanormalDate.com.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hey everyone, it's producer Tom of Coast to Coast AM, and more of The Wizard of Weird starts right now.
Welcome back to the final segment of this edition of Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. And being born and raised in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Western North Carolina, I have been around black bears my whole life. Yes, I've seen lots of black bears. I even spent years camping on a black bear reserve around Brown Mountain. And on two occasions, I've even unexpectedly walked up on black bears in the wild. Just, you know, it was just one time it was just myself, and another time it was me and another guy on a trail and, you know, in the thick wilderness. And one of those things that was talked about terrifying, where you're standing there and you're looking at the bear is looking at you. And you don't know what's going to happen. Fortunately, in both cases, the bear ran away. But I've seen bears. What I saw that night, standing there in the middle of that road, was not a black bear. It was at least as big as one. But once again, it looked like this hulking black creature on all fours. I don't remember seeing any kind of a tail or anything like that. With this big, giant, ugly, scary, bat-like face that I can roughly relate to something like a Boston Terrier in terms of shape, glowing eyes. And I know that the average person would not jump out of the car, but I'm not the average person. And I just knew I had to try to get a picture of it. So I'm scrambling for my phone. I open my door. In the meantime, I've stopped in the middle of the road. Shelly's behind me. She stopped wondering what the heck is going on. So I jumped out of the car, and I'm motioning back to her for her to get out of the car. And as soon as I got out, this thing, it tore off, and there was an embankment there with a bunch of vegetation, and it just tore off into that vegetation down toward the river. And again, this is right next to a big bridge that takes you across over to the bywater, for those of you who know the area.
So I took out my cell phone. I was not able to get an image of it, but I waited there for a while. And Shelly's like, what's going on? Is everything okay? And I said, yeah, there's some kind of creature up here on the road. So we waited there for a while, and it never reemerged. It was so freaky, it gave me goosebumps. So at that point, we just went on to the bar, and she never got to see it. But I was describing to her what I had seen and how I would have given anything to have had a dash cam back in those days. But again, this is like 2012. I guess they were around, but I didn't have one. So as we're sitting there at the bar, and I'm talking over and over again about like how freaky this was and how weird this thing looked, only then, and this is the twist ending, only then did I realize that earlier in that night on the show, my primary guest was my buddy Nick Redfern, who had come on to talk about black dogs, devil dogs, demon dogs, hellhounds, and similar creatures. And he had said that they are often seen around bridges and therefore waterways. There's some connection between these creatures and these bridges. And without getting into to why that may be, you know, you're talking about water is flowing and there's a lot of electromagnetic and electrostatic energy that's flowing, and bridges are sort of, you know, crisscrossing that in some way. And there's a lot of strange energy patterns around waterways that we are not familiar with. And when I can't believe it took me, you know, like 30 minutes for this to occur to me, like, holy crap. We were talking about this on the show tonight, and boom, this happened. I don't know if I just manifested it subconsciously or, you know, just by talking about it, I somehow attracted that experience, or if that was just God placing some bit of evidence in front of me to show me that this topic is real and there's something to it. But I consider that a phantomal experience, even though this creature looked absolutely physical and tangible to me, other than perhaps its bright, shiny, glowing eyes, which, you know, it's always hard to judge that because you know how animal eyes are at night in headlights. But that experience, that really stands out. So I've had a number of these kinds of encounters that I would consider phantomal or possible phantomal encounters throughout my life. And I told you in both cases, they were, even though I call them phantomals, they were physical to a certain extent. When I was fighting those snakes I told you about in the last podcast, those were physical snakes. I had my hands on them. That doesn't mean they still can't be phantomals. And same thing with this thing that was crossing the road. So anyway, look, I hope that you've learned something over the course of the last show, part one, and now this show, part two, about my concept of the phantomal and about how many weird variations of this exist all throughout history, going back to ancient times. It's just a part of life, and you may have witnessed them even when you didn't know that you were witnessing them. And I find that fascinating, and it's another example of just how incredible I would call it the animal kingdom is, but it's really the kingdom of life and living creatures. But this is one I don't think I'd thought about before. I want to read you an email that just came in to me days ago from a woman named Emily. And she says, "Hi, Joshua. I'm up too late with random questions." She says, "My husband and I are going to take our girls," and they're ages 10, 11, and almost 4, "to Phoenix, Arizona, to the Great Wolf Lodge adventure, along with some other cool explorations. And I was searching for things to do in that area and came across some articles and links about UAPs and tours and whatnot that take you out to a spot at night to observe all the activity in the airspace." And she says, "I had a random wondering, are these craft ghosts of alien intelligence? I'm thinking of orbs and balls of light. They often accompany hauntings, right?" She says, I just watched the newest Expedition X investigation of Mackinac Island in Michigan, where we are originally from, and they documented a speeding ball of light that disappeared offshore. She says, if UAPs are ghosts of alien intelligence objects, can deceased AI manifest as a ghost? That is a whole separate wondering. Now, I'm going to repeat what she just said here, okay? She said, can deceased AI manifest as a ghost? She continues, it might explain quite a bit of the defiance of physics that is observed, and the sometimes intelligent slash interactive nature versus disconnected slash automatic behavior observed. I am thinking AI because perhaps organic aliens would be terrestrial, and ghosts of repetitive nature tend to follow the same tracks as in life, from what I've read and listened to, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, so aerial alien ghosts might then theoretically be AI? She said, she goes on to say, I tried searching keywords on the topic in my question, but nothing came up. Ghosts and UFOs slash UAPs seem to always be in separate discussions. Have you come across research or had a similar discussion with any folks? More questions that keep me up at night. Hope all is well with you and yours. And that's from Emily. You know what, Emily? This is very interesting. This kind of thing takes us into that basic question of what is life? You know, I was just talking about the kingdom of living beings, and now you got to throw me this curveball, because now I'm thinking of, like, you know, R2-D2 and C-3PO from Star Wars. They probably believed that they were alive and had a soul of some kind. They probably believed that. And how do we know that they don't when they reach that point? At what point do we, even humans, create something that is intelligent enough that it almost becomes an antenna and takes on a soul? I don't know the answer to that, but I think that it's a good question to ask, because you're right, Emily. A lot of these times I see behavior among these craft that seems part machine and part organic. It blurs the line. It's like the little flying saucer guys from Batteries Not Included, from that movie. I think that you're on to something here. It makes sense to us, but we're still not quite there yet, because it's too advanced for us to understand at what point manufactured AI is going to actually start taking on the personality that we associate with having a soul. Man, thank you for that message. That's good stuff. Think about that, everybody. And now think about something positive. Take a deep breath. If you can, close your eyes and listen to the Good Fortune Tone. That's it for this edition of the show. Follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren. Plus, visit joshuapwarren.com to sign up for my free e-newsletter to receive a free instant gift, and check out the cool stuff in the Curiosity Shop, all at joshuapwarren.com. I have a fun one lined up for you next time, I promise. So please tell all your friends to subscribe to this show, and to always remember the golden rule. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your interest and support. Thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon. You've been listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Well, if you like this episode of Strange Things, wait till you hear the next one. Thank you for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.